Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
But not everything we talk about is politics here on The Brian Lehrer Show. And today we kick off a series about the college decision-making process with WNYC's schoolbook.org and Jacques Steinberg, who covered college admissions for The New York Times for many years and wrote the book The Gatekeepers: Inside the Admissions Process of a Premier College. He's now with the national nonprofit Say Yes to Education, which helps kids in low-income districts navigate applying to and staying in college. November 1st is the deadline if you're a high school senior applying under early admission guidelines. So call in with your questions on early admission. Jacques will be back on in the future to talk about things like essays, financial aid forms, and how to choose a college if you go through the regular process. But this morning, we're taking questions on early action, early decision, early admission at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Hey, Jacques, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks so much, Brian.
And what do we actually mean by early admission, early decision, and early action? Are they the same thing?
So three quick definitions. Binding early decision means that you apply early to a college by that November 1st deadline. You apply to one college, and if you get in, you've committed in advance that you're going to go. Early action is non-binding. You apply by that November 1st deadline, more or less. You find out in December, and you don't have to decide until May whether you're going to go, or at least late April. Just to further confuse, there is something called single choice early action, which is a non-binding program. And if you get in, you don't have to decide until the spring, but you've committed to not apply early anywhere else other than to a state university. And there's only a handful of colleges that have single choice early action, but they happen to be Harvard and Yale and Princeton and Stanford among them.
Huh. And how about early decision and early action in general? Do they tend to be only the most upper crust of schools?
They tend to be some of the more selective schools. This is one of these cases where parents and students really do have to do their homework and go to the website and find out whether they are one of these three or mostly one of the two, binding or non-binding.
So on the binding versus non-binding question, is there an advantage to applying for early admission, the binding one, because a college might be more likely to accept you, knowing that they're going to get a commitment from you to actually go?
The colleges are very careful. In most instances, they will tell you that there is no edge to applying binding early decision.
Yeah.
On the other hand, these colleges do tend to take more kids in the early decision round, but they will tell you that some of the most talented students will apply early decision. So that's part of that percentage. The most important thing for students to know is if you're applying to a binding program, you should be as sure as an 18-year-old can be that this is a place you want to go, because guess what? You might get in.
Tracy in Fairfield, you're on WNYC. Hi, Tracy.
Hi. I have a question for the author.
Uh-huh.
I have a daughter who's applying to college this fall for next year. She's a good student, good grades, good SAT scores and all that. But schools that she's applying to are giving very high estimates on the EFT calculators on the websites. The estimated family contribution, the EFCs.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to figure out if applying early decision, if we can do that, if you're not willing to pay the full ride.
That's a great question.
It's a terrific question.
Yeah.
That applies to so many families. Jacques, what's the answer?
So the answer is, again, the colleges that will tell you, for example, some of the schools in the Ivy League and some of the most selective that have that will meet your full need, they will tell you. They are need blind in their admissions. It's up to them to decide what that need is. And you're talking about the estimated family contribution. It's not really for you to decide. And so It would stand to reason that if you're really concerned about financial aid, that you should be very, very careful about a decision to do a binding early decision, because you won't have any other offers to look at. These colleges certainly don't like to think of you as negotiating. They don't like to think of themselves as car dealers, and they are not that. But the fact is, the fact is that some of the offers may vary, and if that's a real concern, and you've committed to a place before you've even seen their offer that you're going to go, you may be making it harder for yourself.
Tracy, thank you for your call, and good luck with your application. Could it be one of the reasons that expensive private colleges like to admit a lot of early decision kids is that they are committed to going, and then you know, maybe they're even looking more at early decision than at the regular applicant's ability to pay or clues for the ability to pay, and it's not as needs blind as some of the schools like to say they are in other circumstances?
I actually think that more than the financial is, look, we tend to think of kids going sort of hat in hand to these colleges and saying, please take me. The fact is that they are in an arms race among themselves for the best kids. And this is an opportunity to lock in a kid, literally, who's a real prize, who for whatever reason is saying your school is my number one and I'm committed to go. And so I think it's as much about talent, if not more so.
And so they get something also, the schools, from saying that a high percentage of those who they admitted accepted the offer and attend the school, right?
Sure. So one of the things the colleges in this arms race, one of the things they look at is yield. How many kids did you say yes to who then turned around and said yes to you? Yes, we're coming. This, if you're in a binding early decision program, it's guaranteed yield. That kid is coming.
Emma in Maplewood, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for having me. I have a quick question. We're a middle-income family. My son could check the Latino Puerto Rican part in the application. His scores are maybe a little above average. And the question is, we love Columbia University. We love its diversity. Should he apply early decision to have a better chance of possibly getting in, or should we wait early action? I mean, regular decision.
And I hope this answer won't sound like a cop-out. I mean, these decisions are so personal to you and to your family that I want to be careful to not give a flip answer.
Okay.
But in general, if your child knows to the best that a kid can at his age that, boy, this seems like a place that I would be happy and really thrive at and be supported and do well, and if you're willing to roll the dice in terms of the financial aid award to the extent there is one, it can be a wonderful way to sort of short-circuit the stress and anxiety of your senior year.
Right, although, you know, it's so highly selective that we're really you know,
but it sounds like it's your clear. Is Columbia your clear first choice?
I think it is. I mean, we've gone there. We think it's great. You know, we visited the multicultural open house event, and I think he wants to be in an urban city. You know, we're originally from New York City, so there's a lot of good reasons why we would want to be there.
But I'm trying to figure out what your choice is. Is part of your choice whether or not to apply to a different school early decision that you think he has a greater chance of getting into?
No, we wouldn't apply to any other school early decision. You know, there's a lot of other schools we're applying to that are not Ivy League, such as Drexel University, and they have the non-binding, you know, decision where we could just apply right now. They're waiving the application fee. So we're going to apply there as well, and those are, and even to Rutgers. But this is like, this is our, you know, reach school that we'd love.
Yes.
You know, and we kind of have our fingers crossed. But, you know, I'm thinking, am I, like, reaching too far for him?
I guess the answer is, what's the worst that could happen? So he doesn't get in, or maybe the decision gets deferred, which is an option. It doesn't sound like he's lost much at all.
That's right. And now I am a little worried about the finances, because it is one of the most expensive universities. But I do know that, you know, we're, like, heading towards retirement as well. My husband is, and he's really the sole income earner right now, and I'm a little worried, but they say not to worry about that when we went to the open house, because they say it's all based on your income.
And Emma, I'm going to leave it there, but I think Emma is a perfect example of how many different elements people have to try to unpack at the same time while making the decision. And if that's really what they said to her and her family, it's not a great answer. Don't worry about it. Don't they need to give her a more specific answer, like here's how much aid we typically give to families with this much income, and go figure out if you can afford our school?
Yeah, I think the answer probably was a little more complicated than that.
Yeah.
But these are among the most generous private institutions in the country, Columbia among them. So, but she sounds like she's got the calculus right in that she's thinking about selectivity, but also about affordability.
By the way, on binding early admissions, Ed from New Jersey writes in to ask, what makes it binding? Do they send guys to your house with baseball bats?
You know, it's a funny thing. You're teaching your child to make a commitment that this is not something that you can wriggle out of easily. And on the other hand, finances are one of those things that if it just turns out that it's really not something you can swing, no, they're not going to send someone with a baseball bat to your house. You can wriggle out of it, but I sure would not advise going into this process with that being an option.
And you know who else hates it in the rare occasion where somebody does get out of it is your high school, because then they get a reputation. And I think the high schools really, really hate it and really apply the pressure so that they know that the word is good of people coming from their institution.
Yeah, I can tell you it's almost something you never hear of, and I would strongly urge no one to try to embark down that road.
Susan in Yorktown Heights here on WNYC. Hi, Susan.
Good morning. My question is, my daughter's REACH school is Cornell Cal's, and it's also her top choice. And she has good SAT scores, not exceptional SAT scores. And we're questioning whether she should apply early decision with the score she has, or wait until her November scores come back, which would be too late for early decision, and apply regular decision.
That's actually a terrific question. I mean, you do want to put your best foot forward if this is the first choice, and sometimes those scores do go up.
It's hopefully.
hopefully, and if they don't, in many cases, they will take the best score.
Right.
But let's step back just a quick moment. Remember that scores are only part of what they're considering. There's the essay. There's teacher recommendations. There's how hard were your courses and how did you do in them?
Right.
What activities do you bring to this community we're trying to build? So just as you think about trying to handicap your daughter, which can be a really hard thing to do because they are mixing all these factors, but just know that it's about a lot more than scores.
Right, we understand that, but those scores do hang over your head.
It certainly is a factor, and having a little better set of scores in the regular round of admission is certainly a reason to hold off on an early application.
Susan, thank you very much. I guess one of the advantages of applying early admission is if you get in and they notify you December 15th, typically, then you can slack off for the rest of your senior year, not just in second term, right?
So good use of the words slack off. Certainly the pressure is off. You're in, and in all likelihood you know where you're going. But if you fail a course, they reserve the right to rescind that offer of admission, and I have actually heard of that happening. And I know Wesleyan University, where the gatekeepers was set, they send out a really tough letter saying keep your grades up. But obviously a lot of the stress is removed.
As we run out of time here, it sounds like the essence of the decision is really financial for a binding early decision. You have to know that you're going to be able to afford what you're likely to have to pay for that school, in addition to the obvious that that's really your number one school. Is that about what it comes down to?
Yeah, I think it's fit and financial. You know, does this feel like it's going to be a fit for you as best you know yourself? And based on the due diligence you've done, Does it seem like it's going to be something you're going to be able to afford?
Do schools have early decision and early action, the non-binding one, or do they generally have one or the other?
There's a couple that have both, and just to further confuse, there are some that have early decision too, which is, and Wesleyan is one of them. Okay, now it's January 1st, you didn't get into your first choice early decision. How about committing to Wesleyan for early decision too, which is binding?
So we will have to leave it there. Look for Jacques Steinberg's college admission advice coming soon to schoolbook.org. And he'll be back with more advice as we go through the process this year. Talk to you, Jacques.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.